Greetings and welcome to another edition of the Aeolian Impromptu. I'm your host, Maya Barsak. Today my guest is American composer and pianist Missy Mazzoli. She writes music for many different mediums and genres: opera, orchestra, chamber ensemble, film, television, and for her band Victoire. She was recently named in 2022 Composer of the Year by Musical America. Mazzoli is a prolific composer with varied interests in the human experience. Her works have often centered on the daily dramas of people, and most specifically, on strong women characters. She is the co-founder of Luna Composition Lab, a mentoring program that focuses on developing the next generation of women, non-binary, and gender-conforming composers. She has also spoken about the position of women in contemporary classical music. Let's start by listening to You Are Dust for mezzo and piano, performed by Emily D'Angelo and Sophie Munoz, and this is on a Deutsche Grammophon release. We just heard You Are Dust by Missy Mazzoli, performed by Emily D'Angelo and Sofia Munoz. We're going to turn now to a short conversation I had with Missy Mazzoli.
Hi.
How are you?
I'm great. How are you?
Doing well, thanks. Where are you joining us from?
So I am in my apartment in Brooklyn, New York.
And would you say that New York, Brooklyn is kind of like a palette for your inspiration?
Sure. Yeah. I mean, I've always, when I was a kid, always wanted to live in New York. And yeah, I'm constantly, you know, almost every night out seeing shows, plays, art shows, obviously concerts. So I find it very inspiring. And just I really love New York as a city and the fast pace and the way that you encounter strangers all the time. I think that it really feeds my imagination. I'm very inspired by human drama and inner workings of people's minds. It's more, I'm just attracted to stories of people in extreme situations. All of my operas are about people who find themselves in extreme or difficult situations and have to do something extraordinary to get themselves out. And that's very broad, but that's intentional. It's a very broad way of describing any sort of drama. I just, you know, even in my work that doesn't include voice, you know, I'm very drawn to, you know, people doing extraordinary things and coming together to work together on something, or, you know, the way that people undermine each other.
Okay. And so, speaking of operas, you just had one of your operas premiere in Scandinavia, The Listeners.
Mm-hmm.
How did you kind of create that tapestry?
So The Listeners is based on a treatment by the Canadian playwright Jordan Tannehill that I adapted along with my librettist Royce Vavrick. I was just very interested in the psychology of cults and the role that charismatic leaders play in cult-like situations.
Okay.
And how people are at once manipulated but also exploited, and at their core just are looking for some sort of sense of family and community. So I'm coming at from a bunch of different angles, one of which is a very compassionate understanding angle that everyone needs community, and most of us don't find it in the conventional way. So I think that The Listeners is about, in part, about a bunch of people finding community in a very unexpected way.
Okay. And why the title, The Listeners? Is it because of the hum, or the fact that as human beings, sometimes we really have a hard time listening to each other or acknowledging other people's needs and needing of belonging, perhaps, or being loved, accepted, understood, and so forth?
Yeah, I think it's all of those things. You know, cult calls themselves The Listeners. It's also used as a derogatory term against them by other members of the community. But yeah, you know, all of these people feel that they are not listened to, and particularly our protagonist, Claire Devon, who is a middle-aged sort of soccer mom in this community, and no one takes her seriously when she first mentions being plagued by this sound. So, you know, I think that that's a very common thing, particularly for women, that their pain is not taken seriously, or it's more easily dismissed, and they are not listened to in that way. So it's about all of those things.
It seems, from having heard several of your pieces, that there's tonal and atonal kind of dance that goes on
mm-hmm.
in a lot of your pieces, maybe perhaps in all of them. Is this something that you consciously try to bring to the forefront, or are you pulling from all the various musical genres that kind of inhabit your musical palette?
Yeah, I think my harmonic language is something that does dance between consonants and dissonance all the time. And I'm, you know, always hyper aware of that as I'm writing, and the sort of balance of that and the pull of dissonance and the resolution of consonants, or presenting consonants in an unexpected context mm-hmm. so that it sounds dissonant. I mean, so all of these things I'm playing with to create a sense of a balance of the familiar and the unexpected, and also playing on our associations with these sounds. So I think that we all have associations, particularly with consonant sounds, with a major chord, with a minor chord. And in particularly in my operas, I want to use them as, you know, use that as a tool. So instead of, you know, just trying to, if you're constantly presenting sounds that no one's heard before, it's harder to sort of use that sense of nostalgia and familiarity as an emotional tool.
Nice. And so what instrument or instruments do you actually, when it comes down to sitting down, right, what do? Do you have a preferred tool?
Yeah, I'm a pianist, so I'm writing at the piano. And a lot of my work starts as improvisation that I then develop.
Nice. And so when you and I chatted a little bit, you mentioned that you have a new release. Would you like to tell us a little bit more about it?
Sure. So I have a brand new album, and it is a collaboration with a bunch of different orchestras and also the violinist, the Norwegian violinist, Peter Haristhal. So, and it features the world premiere recording of four of my orchestral works, recorded with the Bergen Philharmonic and the Arctic Philharmonic, conducted by James Gaffigan and Tim Weiss. And so works that have been performed for years but have never been recorded, so like Symphonia for Orbiting Spheres, These Worlds and Us, violin concerto version of Dark with Excessive Bright, and a very new work that I wrote for the Chicago Symphony called Orpheus Undone. So yeah, the album is called Dark with Excessive Bright. Yeah, please listen.
That's exciting. So it's basically a compilation of many works that you have been creating over the years and finally are going to be presented in one album, or we could call it a solo album.
Yeah, you know, and the oldest work on there is from 2006, and the newest work is from 2021. So, but they all, I think, work together and complement each other in a really interesting way. And yeah, it's the first time any of these works have been recorded for commercial release.
Oh, that sounds really exciting. And tell me, what are you working on right now?
I'm working on a new opera called Lincoln and the Bardo, which is an adaptation of the George Saunders novel of the same name. And that'll be for the Met Opera.
Well, this is exciting. I mean, the Metropolitan is making an effort to present more contemporary opera, which is important to keep the genre alive.
Sure. Yeah. It's been exciting, you know, that the new works at the Met are selling out and the crowd is really young and excited, and it's been a fascinating trajectory to be a part of.
Great. And so do you also teach or mentor other composers?
Yes. So I'm a professor at Bard College and also at the New School in Manhattan. And I also run a mentorship program for very young female non-binary and gender non-conforming composers ages 13 to 18. And that's called Luna Composition Lab. Something I started in 2016 with the composer Ellen Reed.
Wow, that sounds really fabulous. Actually, I did read about it. Very thrilled that you've given an opportunity to be supported and mentored as they discover their path. Mm-hmm. Do you want to tell us a little bit more how it works, how you select these young people and what you provide for them?
Sure. So, you know, there's an application process and we have a couple different programs. Our signature program is the fellowship program, where we select 6 young composers every year and they get a full year of mentorship with a prominent female or non-binary composer, and they receive individual lessons twice a month, and it's all geared towards writing a piece that we then perform as part of a week-long festival in New York City every spring. So we fly all these composers to New York. They work with the International Contemporary Ensemble. They go to rehearsals. They have master classes. We go to concerts. It's this really amazing week. And then it culminates in a performance of their work that is recorded and filmed. And so we also have another program that is for composers who are more at the beginning of their journey. And that's called Adventures in Sound. And it's a class, a weekly class, that walks them through the beginning parts of composition. So everything from beginning notation to harmony, counterpoint a little bit. And it's based on, there's a lot of listening and exercises. It's a really fun class that's led by the composer Whitney George. So, and then we have an alumni support fund, which provides all of our alums with financial resources to help continue their career. So whether that's like buying a keyboard so they can compose in their dorm room, or getting help with financing transportation to a festival or a premiere, we try to keep the support going. So it's really like a lifelong kind of support program. And we're in touch with almost every single person who has been through the program, and 95% of them go on to pursue careers in composition.
Wow, so phenomenal.
Yeah, so it's been really rewarding. And, you know, we have students going on to some of the best conservatories and universities in the country. And because they come out of this program armed with great recordings of their work, great letters of recommendation, and the connections that you need in this field to move forward. Whether we like it or not, that's how it works right now. Uh-huh. So my goal is to help, you know, young women and non-binary people who don't see an obvious role model or don't see an obvious path for themselves. My goal is to help them have an easier time and have more fun and have more community as they're going through the early stages of their career.
And so you came up with this project, because I mean, it's a big project, as a need to kind of help the girl that wanted to compose many years ago. Yes.
Oh, you mean me? Like, sure. No, and I really, yeah. No, I mean, like, it's no secret that, like, I didn't meet another female composer until I was in my 20s. I spent 8 years in music school studying composition, never once had a female teacher. And this really can do a number on you. It's really hard to see yourself moving into these professional spaces when no one in those professional spaces looks like you or shares certain, I think, vital aspects of your life experience. And when I met some of my female mentors, like Meredith Monk, I met her in my early 20s. Julia Wolf, met her in my early 20s. People like Jennifer Higdon, Joan Tower. When I started to meet them, it was like the world opened up, and it didn't take much. You know, after like one or two meetings with them, I felt like I could see a way forward, and I felt like I had a role model. And so it shouldn't take these young people that long to find that. So Ellen Reed and I, when we started the program, our goal was to make it, to make that happen faster and with less sort of mental anguish and pain and self-doubt.
Mm. And lastly, what are you listening to right now?
So I'm listening to Lorraine, this artist. It was really hard to describe. I think she's just incredible. So I'll just leave it at that and you know, ask people to listen to her. It's L'Rain.
Okay.
And this Zamrock band from the 70s, and which called Witch, which stands for We Intend to Cause Havoc. And it was just this really extraordinary band that I just discovered. Yeah, and...
So it sounds like you have very eclectic tastes.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I do. But I'm drawn to people who are doing something new. Even if it is something that, a record that was created in the 70s, like this band Witch, I was just like, this is something that seems very fresh and new. And an artist like Lorraine is great. You know, I'm also listening to this new album by Third Coast Percussion, that I'm a group that I work with a lot, featuring works by Tyonde Braxton and Jay Lynn, who are really great. Yeah, so it's very eclectic. And tomorrow, my answer will be totally different. So it changes all the time.
That's great. Well, thank you so much. It's been really fun talking with you.
Thank you for having me.
We're going to listen now to Dark with Excessive Bright, which is a piece for bass and string orchestra, and it features the Australian Chamber Orchestra with Maxime Bibeau on bass under the direction of Tognetti. And this is a live performance from 2018.
Thank you.
We just heard Dark with Excessive Bright, featuring the Australian Chamber Orchestra with Maxime Bibeau on bass under the direction of Tognetti. And this is a live performance from 2018. Thanks again for tuning in. I'll be back with another interview soon. Till then, be well.